Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crudy, I can hear you, but he's got no sound, so we're going to work on that right now. I want to welcome our guest, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney. Jim, welcome back.
Man. Dom, always a delight to be with you and Mike in Madison and being right here in downtown Waukesha once again. Beautiful summer afternoon.
You know, some weeks are more crazy than others, Jim, and it just seems to get more and more and more hectic these days.
This is about an 8.9, I'd say, right? Yeah, I think so. Somewhere in the higher ends of the scale here.
Right, don't we have an election too? Right. It seems like a long time
something
ago.
Coming up in a few weeks.
Let's talk about the big news as far as I see it right off the bat. The Alan Weisselberg, the former chief financial officer of the Trump Organization. Pled guilty, man. 15 felony counts. Looking at 15 years, cut a deal to do 100 days. That seems like a pretty good skate, Jim. What's he going to have to do to earn that?
Right. And so we know a lot, but we don't know many other things about how this is actually going to take place. We do know that obviously he entered a plea, which is a plea agreement between the government and him and his lawyers. Basically, he will get this lower sentence. Apparently, the judge was very much involved in this, in accomplishing all of this past week. Plainly, he has to testify. Remember that there is still another defendant in this case, and that's the Trump Organization. It's right. Not Donald Trump. It's the organization, which, as we know, is also in the ambit, the target, if you will, of the Attorney General for the state of New York. Also a defendant in this case. And so presumably that entity is still going to trial at some time. As strange as that may sound, you can bring a corporation to trial and do that. And the agreement is that he's going to testify in that context and presumably tell the truth. He's going to raise his right hand and talk about things that he knows in connection with that. That's the big element of this. There's a little bit of a fine that's going to go along with this. Plainly some supervised release afterwards. But that's the big exchange here. And plainly an awful lot of negotiation about whether or not he would testify also against a fellow named Donald John Trump. And that plainly is not happening. There was a little bit of a suggestion that he would talk a little bit about some of the notations that maybe the former president made in some of these books. But the reality is that the big thing is his testimony in connection with this upcoming trial having to do with the corporation itself.
You got to mute him. Jim Santel, fine guest. Jim, appreciate you joining us in the show, man. Very excited. I understand you're doing double duty tomorrow. Not only are you doing the morning cannolis, but my understanding is you're also sitting in on This Week in Waukesha with Don in the morning.
See what happens when you bring people together? There's conspiracies even on the radio, and they get together. They don't tell you about these things, and they say, I'm going to be on your show. You'll be on my show, and delighted to do all of that, and delighted to be with you and all your listeners tomorrow morning for 2 hours. Then the third hour right before that, from 8 to 9 on Don's show, focusing on Waukesha. We're going to talk about some political issues and presumably also about your new event tonight. At broadcasting the local sports events happening right here in Waukesha.
Careful, Jim. We'll have you doing play-by-play next Friday night.
That would be scary.
Jim said, tell our fine guest in the Waukesha studios, Jim, I got to ask you, there was no covering statement, my understanding, from the Manhattan DA's office in regards to Weisselman. Why do you think this would be the case? Typically, as I understand it, there'd be a statement saying, well, Weisselman is, covered and has pled to all of these crimes And that's an inclusive thing that would include anything not covered in specific charges.
Right.
Why does he lack for this?
Right. And so this again, it has to do with the interplay between these federal and state cases. We know that the DA is still obviously pursuing a lot there. And this is a portion of it. We recall as well that some of the DAs there left out of protest, that Donald Trump was no longer the focus of this. But I anticipate that as this goes forward, this is just breaking today, you don't want to be up there too much as the prosecutor, talking too much about the arrangement, because you never know how it's going to play out over time. We mentioned right before we were chatting here that this is all in anticipation of a trial that's still coming up, and that's going to be with respect to the corporation itself. As a DA, as a prosecutor, you don't want to be out there too much talking about that, just because, not only because your promises may not come true, but also because it tends to have an impact, if you will, even upon things like jury selection, the review of the public. And so I'm not entirely surprised there's not a huge amount of commentary about how this is going to fit into this larger scheme, if you will.
Jim, for clarity's sake, for my own edification here, is this deal requiring Weisselberg to testify in the Attorney General's case, right, or the criminal case that is also being pursued against Trump with the Manhattan DA,
right,
or both?
Right. And frankly, you know, this is going to be the subject of a lot of lawyering about this. He's plainly been given the opportunity here to testify in connection with that federal case that's out there, and that's what we're focusing on here today. The federal judge talking about all this, but very likely that this is going to have an impact upon that DA prosecution as well. And so, again, whether you're federal or state, just don't want to be out there too much talking about the interplay of these things. No doubt the federal authorities are talking with the state authorities as this goes forward. This major, major event plainly had to be, if not coordinated, at least information exchanged between those prosecution offices.
So when Weisselberg, and Creed, I'll let you go in just a second, when he says, and he's not going to testify against Donald Trump, the person, in whatever case may come, that he's decided not to do that. And for that, perhaps he'll do some of that 100 days or more. But the other side of that is, in a small organization, relatively small, the Trump Organization, I mean, you know, Donald Trump is not one to delegate lots of power, right? Presumably, Donald Trump has all sorts of signatures and all sorts of things. And, you know, I could see just the prosecutors putting up a document. Is this XYZ, and is that Donald Trump's signature, and is this criminal? Yes, yes, yes. I mean, so how does someone avoid testifying against Donald Trump, the person, when you're testifying against Donald Trump, the organization?
That is the $1 million, $1.5 million question, yeah, right? Because you can't. And again, I sort of said it tongue in cheek before. Yes, you can put a corporation on trial. There still has to be a human being there in some way to represent that corporation, quite literally sitting there in the courtroom. We don't know who that's going to be. It is so difficult, especially in these circumstances, because as we know from Michael Cohen, who talked about this as well, that Donald Trump is the organization. The organization is him. It is, as you just indicated, Dom, apparently a very closely held organization where he knows a lot about everything that's going on. He doesn't share a lot of things. And so that's going to be the fascinating part of this when this trial does happen. If, in fact, again, the corporation could plead guilty as well, that could happen too, in which case we don't get a trial out of this particular set of charges. But it does raise an awful lot of issues about how those questions are phrased. And frankly, if you're the prosecutor, while you've got to be sensitive to it, Weisselberg has now got to take the oath and testify honestly and truthfully. When you present the document that you've just identified here and say, who signed off on this? Tell me about where this came from. Who authorized this? How do you divide that out from not being a part of Donald Trump's presence there? I don't know. And I think it's going to be a great challenge for any in-trial prosecutor to sort of go back and forth and figure that out.
James, tell our fine guest, Jim, it will be Eric Trump, the personification of the Trump org, I suspect. Let me ask you, Jim, I made you a promise a long time ago, and I've never carried through on reading the Mueller report. And I've always had this excuse. It's redacted, Jim. It's redacted. And until they unredact the Mueller report, I ain't reading it. Well, are we getting closer to Crudy having a big homework assignment? And what about this newest Bill Barr and the the memo that they used to shield Trump from possible obstruction prosecution. Jim, can you explain that point a little better for layman like Rudy?
Right. So, again, a lot of this coming back again from, 2 and 3 years and spent a lot of time chatting about this. I happen to have the Mueller report along in the studio today, Mike, for other reasons related to redaction, which have to do with something happening
out of the microphone.
There you go. And, again, I don't think it's time yet to read all 475 pages of that. But as time goes on and we have more of these prosecutions, I think your point of your question is just this. An awful lot of redactions there premised upon the notion that they were a part of an ongoing matter. Remember that? A lot of references to grand jury materials, but also ongoing matters. Even the people who are in charge of that investigation said, we can't disclose this yet because it's still an open file. As more and more of these cases come forward, it may well be that we already have some of those forward. We don't even know about it because it hasn't been redacted. Presumably, the need to continue with redaction, the thing that has frustrated you so much, begins to go away. And over time, I think it can be very appropriate to go back and say, now can we have the unredacted version of that? Even with respect to the Barr memorandum, things related to that. That's becoming historical now, right? And it's no longer as timely, no longer has the impact upon investigations that it may have had at the time that we first came to know about it.
Jim, it was always quite convoluted, not because it wasn't clear that there was criminality, not because it wasn't clear that there was probably obstruction of justice on behalf of Trump, but because it was hard for the American people to understand, Jim. Yes. It was a complicated crime or a complicated allegation being made. And Mueller was perhaps not the greatest communicator. Do you think these perhaps soon-to-be alleged crimes, these indictments that I think inevitably will come down against Donald Trump, are you worried about what's contained in the Mueller report still, or are the pressing potential indictments more important? You know, let's say something around the insurrectionist line, Jeff.
Right. I think those are the more important thing now. And again, at the time, the redactions might have been important to preserve those. But now as we go forward, more of this, once you have indicted someone, once you've charged something in federal court, in state court, wherever you are, that becomes a part of the public record. And so my own sense is a lot of those things that were redacted, not a part of the public record, can be disclosed. Discovery, they will be disclosed in court.
He is James Santel, our good friend, former U.S. attorney, the host of Morning Cannolis right here on Saturday mornings, also appearing on This Week in Waukesha tomorrow morning with Don Brown. And I understand he'll be doing high school football next week. More Devil's Advocates coming back with James Santel in the Shaw, Crudy in Wisconsin Rapids, Evan in the World Headquarters, you on the phone perhaps as well.